All right, I want you to open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. Isaiah 59 for the message this morning. I'm going to speak to you this morning on the enemy of the Christian home. Over the last month or so, I've preached several messages out of the book of Acts in the fifth chapter. And we, just by the nature of that text, we have noticed several things about the devil. And he was mentioned by the Apostle Peter to Ananias. Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, decided to lie to God. And Peter called him on it, said, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" And so last Sunday, as I was preaching the message on Sunday night, I thought that I would kind of continue the thought this morning on the devil being our enemy and how he's doing everything he can to destroy that which would bring honor to the Lord. And of course, there's not a greater institution that honors the Lord than the home. And so I want to read you a text, a verse of scripture, and then I want to speak to you on the enemies of the home. You know, we find so much revolving around the home, and so much, it's the foundation of our society. It's the very fabric of what we are as a people. And so, if the foundation be destroyed, what will the righteous do? And so, we've got to put the emphasis upon the importance of the family, the importance of the home, and safeguarding that, not letting the devil get in and fill the heart of dad, or fill the heart of mom, or fill the heart of the children. And so I want to speak to you this morning on the enemy of the home. Look at the 19th verse in Isaiah 59. And here is a verse of scripture. It says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun." Of course, that's the east. We know the sun rises in the east. When the enemy, here's the text, here's the phrase that I want to use this morning. "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now, would you hold your place there in this passage and turn over with me for just a moment to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And let me read some familiar verses, verses that I've used over the last couple of weeks when speaking of Ananias and Sapphira. But look, please, if you will, now at Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to read, beginning in verse 10, and read just a few verses here. Notice, please, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I'll stop reading right there. And now if you'll just mark that spot and go back to Isaiah 59, let's pray, and then the message on the enemy of the Christian home. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much now for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you will bless the preaching of thy Word this morning. Lord, we have gathered here not just to hear music, although we appreciate the music. And Lord, we've gathered here not just for the fellowship, although we certainly enjoy the fellowship. But Lord, we have gathered here today to hear what thus saith the Lord. And so I pray that you will bless the preaching of the word this morning. Father, I ask that you would fill me with your Spirit. I pray that you will help me as I speak, that I'll say what I need to say, and that, Lord, you will bless it to your honor and glory. Lord, I pray that husbands and wives may be encouraged and strengthened. I pray that they may be given some ammunition that they can use in this battle that we're in with our great enemy, the devil. Father, I pray for the children and young people, and just ask, Lord, that you will open their eyes to what the devil's trying to do to get their hearts. And Lord, may you encourage us this morning. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Bless us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I have reiterated over and over over the past few weeks that our enemy, our great enemy, our number one enemy is the devil. We just read a moment ago in Ephesians 6, and we learned that your enemy is not flesh and blood. Your enemy is not that person that you think is your enemy. Your enemy is the devil. We know that from our what we've learned over the last few weeks, that even the Lord Jesus himself said that the devil is a liar. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He has been from the beginning. We know the Bible teaches that he is the great deceiver. He is the accuser of the brethren. And I could go on and on telling you about the way the Bible defines and describes the devil for us. But make no mistake about it, the devil is public enemy number one. We have learned that he has been on a rampage ever since he was kicked out of heaven, doing all that he can to destroy everything that was created by the Lord. Of course, that which was created by the Lord was created to bring honor and glory to him. And so now the devil is doing all he can to get that glory for himself. The devil hates mankind. He hates the church. He hates the Bible. He hates your children, and he hates you and your marriage. He is forceful, fearless, and forward. He is pernicious, persistent, and powerful. He is deceptive, diabolical, and deceitful. And mark it down, dear friend, the devil is out to get you. Now, that's the bad news. But the good news is this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yes, the devil is after you, but the devil doesn't have to win in his battle against you. I think a major part of understanding the battle is to realize what the devil's after. I want you to think with me a moment about the devil's goal. You know, he is not just out to get control of the world's governments. That's not his primary focus. The devil is not primarily out just to get the church. The devil is not out primarily just to get the public school system or the colleges in our land. No, his primary focus is to get his talons around the throat of your home, around the throat of your marriage, around the throat of your children, and capture the hearts of your children. His goal is to disturb and to destroy the home and everything in it that has to do with God and with righteousness and with holiness. So I say again, the devil is not just out to get governments or industry or business or the educational institutions or even the church. The devil's primary target is your home. The first institution that was created by God was the home. It is the foundation of our society. It is the basic unit of our society. As goes the home, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the educational institutions. As goes the educational institutions, then so goes the government. And as the government goes, so goes the nation. But dear friend, mark it down, it all begins at the home. Now, before I actually get to the three things that I want to say about our enemy of the Christian home, let me just say one little thing right here by way of introduction. I don't know what it has to do with the message, to be honest with you, so just put a parenthesis here. I'll give it to you, close the parentheses, and we'll go back to the message. But let me give you something that I think needs to be said. I think it's important that we understand that just because we dress our children up and take them to Sunday school and to church on Sunday, and just because we send them to camp or just because we send them to Neighborhood Bible Time or to the Wednesday night children's program, that is not where your duty ends as a parent. I just think that needs to be said. I've had parents tell me, well, you know, Pastor, I just don't understand it. You know, I've taken them to church since they were infants, and yet they turned out like animals. Well, dear friend, listen to me. Your home is more important than this church. I love this church. I thank God for this church. But I want to serve notice on you that your home is more important than this church. And if you brought them to everything that we have to offer here, it would only be a sum total of a few hours a week. And the rest of the time, they are under your watchful care. Your home is more important than this church. You know, I thank God for the stand that you folks have agreed with me on. I'm the pastor, so I take the stand, but evidently you've agreed with it. You're still here, and I'm thankful for that. You know, we are careful about making sure that we protect our church. We do all we can to keep the devil out of the church. We do all we can to keep the contemporary movement out of here. We do all we can to keep the right Bible in the pew. We do all we can to keep soul winning on the front burner and to make sure that liberalism or make sure that neo-evangelicalism doesn't come crawling in and eventually take control of what's going on here. We guard the church. It is the thing that I do through the course of a week more than just probably anything else, and that's just guarding things to make sure that the devil doesn't get his old ugly face in here and create problems for us. Well, dear friend, listen, with the same intensity that we guard the church, I want to challenge you to guard your home. You got to realize that as important as this church is, it is not as important as your home. Again, I say, if the foundation be destroyed, what will the righteous do? So we've got to keep our homes intact. And I want you to understand that this old ugly devil that has been at work ever since he was booted out of heaven to begin with is after your home. If the only spiritual instruction, if the only spiritual guidance, if the only spiritual witness, if the only spiritual testimony that your children receive is what they get in the average church in America, they are probably going to turn out like animals. Brethren, they've got to see it at home. They've got to see Jesus at home. They've got to see a mom and dad that love the Lord and love the Bible and love soul winning and love the church and love preaching and love the bus ministry and love the Christian school and love serving and love the pastor and love the pastoral staff and love tithing. And I could just continue on and on showing you that it is what they get at home that has much more of a bearing on their outlook and their perception of the things of the Lord. It's what they get at home that matters more than what they get at church. Now you listen to your pastor now. I'm trying to help you this morning. In other words, folks, they need to get more by design. They need to get more on purpose. They need to get more through your influence, Dad, through your influence, Mom. Your family needs to get more through your example, and they need it on a daily basis at home. Now, the truth is, the devil is after your home. He's our great enemy. And not only is he the enemy of the church, not only is he the enemy of the truth, not only is he an enemy of the Bible, but he is also the enemy of your home. Let me give you three things this morning where the devil fights, where he comes at us. First of all, I want you to see that there are satanic forces that come at us from beneath. There are satanic forces that come at us from beneath. As I've been preaching from the book of Acts, we realize that the devil wishes to fill the heart with his lies and his deception. Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart? This same apostle Peter said in one of his epistles that we are to be vigilant. because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan and all of his impish demons from below are constantly on the attack in our homes. And folks, listen, I want you to realize this very important truth. The devil is out to destroy your marriage. He is out to destroy your marriage. Let me give you just two ways that the devil comes at us to try and defeat us and discourage us and to get your marriage. First of all, he seeks to get us through discouragement. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean that when you got married, you might not have realized it, and whoever performed your wedding may not have counseled you and advised you, and then you got married and you found out some things that you didn't quite realize. Hey, listen, marriage is something that constantly you've got to work at. It's something that you've got to work at. Look at me. I want all of you that have been married for a while to say amen right here. If you are married, you're going to have problems. You get two old sinners and throw them under the same roof, and bless your little old heart, you're going to have some problems. Now, it's just the nature of the beast. All right? You get two sinners and throw them under the same roof, and conflicts will arise. And I have dealt with a number of couples through the years who have just gotten discouraged because they have to keep working at their relationship, and after a while, they get tired of working on it. They get weary in well-doing, and they just want to give up. I had a couple come in to see me one time a couple years ago, and this poor fella was at his wit's end. When they walked through the door, evidently they had been fighting as they were driving over to see me. And when they came in the door, you could just see it on their face. They sat down and I said, okay, what can I do for you? And the man just started. I mean, he was primed and ready. And he said, Preacher, I'm tired of it. I said, you're tired of what? He said, I'm tired of it. He said, I can't say anything right. No matter what I say, it's wrong. And she's sitting over there nodding her head like this. Yep, yep, yep. And he said, it never fails. Preacher, she finds fault in my every word. And, you know, it's like the old adage, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, did it make a sound? Only in this case, it's if a man says something in the forest and no one hears it, is it still stupid? You know, well, that's how she felt, or that's how he felt. And it took a while to fix that one. But, you know, but his words were this. He said, I'm tired of dealing with it. Folks, I'm tired of dealing with it. My, how the devil uses discouragement against us. And he will take every opportunity he can. He knows your weak spot. He knows what flips your buttons. He knows what gets you cranked up. And he is constantly walking up and down, waiting for an opportunity so that he can attack. And in that attack, he is desiring to get you discouraged in the relationship. Let me tell you something, my friend. Don't let the devil get you discouraged in your relationship. You stood before a pastor. You stood before a judge. And you said, I do. You made holy vows before God and before man. And as soon as you did that, the battle was on. Now, you just make sure that you don't let the devil get you discouraged and make up your mind that you're going to talk, you're going to listen, you're going to communicate, and you're not going to let yourself get discouraged. I heard about one couple, and they newlyweds. They had just gotten married, and the wife was set the plate down in front of her husband, and he stood there. He sat there and looked at it and thought, "Oh my goodness!" And as she was getting the final touches on dinner, scurrying around the kitchen, she said, "Honey, Mom only taught me two specialties: meatloaf and chicken pot pie." And looking down at that plate, he said, "Well, which one is this?" You know, listen, you got to grow. You got to talk. You got to communicate. I found out why Adam and Eve had a perfect marriage. You know, they had a perfect marriage. And it was perfect because Adam didn't have to listen to Eve tell him about all the men she could have married. Yeah? And wait a minute, Eve didn't have to listen to Adam tell her about what a good cook his mother was. All right? So, I mean, it worked. That's why it worked out so well. But folks, listen, in this matter of discouragement, that's the devil's goal, is to get you weary in well-doing. And marriage is well-doing. But make it work. Communicate. Talk. I mean, spend time communicating and don't let yourself get discouraged. But there's a second area that the devil seeks to keep us down, and that's with depression. Depression. You get discouraged, the next step is to get depressed. And you need to be aware of that. I think there are many people struggling with depression these days more than what are willing to admit it. But people today are struggling with this all over. People take pills when they get up. They take pills to go to sleep. They take pills to function during the day. And you know, there are some people that you just can't ask them how they're doing because they're going to tell you. They'll tell you. I mean, for the next 45 minutes, they will tell you how they're doing. Folks, be aware that that the devil is out to get you depressed. It is the devil's goal. And the way to battle the depression is simple. Now, everybody listen to this. The way to battle depression is to get busy serving the Lord. That's the way to battle it. If you could just get your mind off of yourself and off of your problems and get your mind on somebody else, the Lord will take that depression and turn it around for you. You know, I don't think there's a whole lot wrong with most of us, but what just doing something for the Lord would fix it. I really believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I mean, we get discouraged at home, and the next thing you know, that carries over to church, and the next thing you know, the devil has your heart filled with discouragement, and that discouragement, the next thing you know, is turned into depression. Be careful, husband. Be careful, wife. I mean, realize that the devil's trying to get you. He doesn't want you to be happily married. He doesn't want you to be the leader in your home, Dad. He doesn't want you, Mom, to be a godly influence upon your children. Listen, here's a concept. Why don't you try to teach a class together as husband and wife? Do something for the Lord. You say, well, my wife already teaches. Then go join her in that class and help her out. You say, well, I don't know if I could teach a class. You know, probably you'd shock yourself. You'd probably be surprised. But you don't have to go and teach the class. Just be in there and support her and help her and work with the kids and pray with them and be an example for them. I mean, listen, just teach a class together. Take a Sunday school class and teach it, or get you a Wednesday night children's ministries class and work together as a couple. Hey, here's another thought for you. Take the Soul Winners Club together and then go out on Thursday night visitation together. Go soul winning together. I'm talking about you doing something for the Lord as a couple. Here's another thought for you. Get a bus route and work that bus route as a family. You would be surprised what that will do for your children. You get a purpose. You get a ministry. You're not just coming in and sitting and getting up and going home, but you are involving yourself in the ministry of the Lord. You're doing something to bring honor and glory to God. And my friends, God will bless that. Amen. So what is our defense? Well, my text says in Isaiah, in verse 19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, and boy, be assured, he does, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Folks, our defense is the Lord Jesus. I mean, the Lord Jesus is our defense. The Lord Jesus was revealed to destroy the power of the devil, and he'll help you. You don't have to fight this thing alone. So what's our enemy? Our enemy is the devil, and there are satanic forces that come at us from beneath. But secondly, there are subtle forces that come at us from within. You see, when you got saved, you did not lose your sin nature. The devil knows that. And man, he comes at your sin nature, he's picking at it, he is constantly poking it, trying to stir it up, and it's a constant battle that we have to fight. We understand that the devil comes at us with a vengeance, but sometimes that which happens within is worse than that which happens from without. Look at the devil's attack from within. I want you to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 for just a second. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me read you a few verses from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 1, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And by the way, folks, we're here. All right? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and from such turn away. Now, as I was reading that, you probably thought, yes, sir, boy, that sure is a description of the world today. Yes, sir, Pastor, the world sure is a terrible place. Hey, folks, the world has always been like this. Paul is not describing the world here. The world has always been like this. What Paul is describing is the condition of the church in the last days. This is what Christianity is. Folks, let me tell you something. I've been at this for 32 years. I know I don't look that old, and you're so kind for saying so. I've been at this for 32 years. I'm going to serve notice on you. It was a whole lot easier 32 years ago than it is today. I mean, you didn't have all of this stuff going on today in the church like you have in the church today. You didn't have it going on back then. The times have changed a great deal. And you say, boy, sure is bad in the world. Yes, dear friend, but he's not describing the world. He's describing the church. You say, well, there's not this stuff in the church. You come sit in my chair for a week, and then you'll have a different opinion on that subject. You just 1 week's all you gotta do is come and sit in my office and wear my shoes for 1 week, and you will have a change of tune on that real quick. Yes, it is in the church. It's filling the church. Our world today is full of it. You say, well, Pastor, what are we going to do? Well, I tell you, we got to just stay with it. It's what we got to do. That's one thing we got to do. Folks, notice in verse 2, disobedient to parents is right in the middle of all this. Disobedient to parents is right in the middle of all this. I think I need to take about 10 Sundays and just preach on disobedient to parents, part 1, disobedient to parents, part 2, disobedient to parents, part 3. I mean, when in the world did it happen that now the inmates are running the asylum? Somebody tell me that. Disobedient, right in the middle of where you see unnatural affection and homosexuality and rape and murder and lying, right in the middle of that is disobedient to parents. And you know, folks, the sad thing of it is our kids are getting it from all angles, and our children are seeing this philosophy as normal behavior. It's almost like the attitude is, well, this is the way people are, so deal with it. And folks, listen, that is a shame that our society has gotten that way. I'm sure you saw on the news where Mattel has come out with a sadomasochistic Barbie this week. Yeah, boy. And mommies are going to go buy this Barbie and give it to their little darlings. And you'll never hear a mother say, honey, this is how I want you to be when you grow up. But you might as well say it. That's what that's your intent. God help us. Now, what's our defense for all this? All right, folks, listen, that's the bad news. But wait a minute. Now, there's good news. There's some good news here. I want you to look, please, at verse 12. Look at your Bible. It says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, we're there. But look at verse 14. Paul says, Timothy, hey, son, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from what's the next word? Child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, our defense in all of this is the Word of God. Oh, how we need the Word of God daily in our lives. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Paul said, Timothy, continue in the things of God and of God's word. In other words, stay in the book. You look at verse 15. Here's the admonition to start them in the Bible as children. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy. He's saying, look, Timothy, you started in this as a child. You had a godly mother and a godly grandmother who took it upon themselves to train you in the things of God's Word. Now, Timothy, stay with it, he says. And boy, we need to get them in the book. Start them when they're little. Watch this illustration, folks. Watch this. This is my Bible right here, all right? As long as I'm standing right here with my Bible, I can see it, I can read it, and if I read it, I can learn it. Nod your heads this way, all right? Now watch. If I lay it down and I walk over here away from it, I can't see it. It's just print on a page, but I can't see it. If I get over here, I can just see that it's over there. But I can't read it. Now, wait a minute. While I'm here, watch this now. While I'm over here, the truth is still in that book. While I'm over here, doctrine is still in that book. While I'm over here, light is still in that book. While I'm over here, grace is still in that book. But I'm over here. I'm disconnected. And if I'm over here and disconnected, it does me no good whatsoever, even though the truth is still in the book. When does it do me good? It does me good when I am with the book. When I've got it in my hand. When it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When it is opened in my home. When it is read by me on a daily basis. When my children are learning that book. That's when it becomes useful in my life. We're bombarded by all these things that attack our flesh, our inner man, that attack us from within. We are bombarded. But my friends, I'm saying we need to bombard our hearts with the truth of God's Word. Let the Word of God lead you and guide you in your family. Then there's one more thing I want you to see. One more thing. We saw that there are satanic forces from beneath. We saw there are subtle forces from within. But then thirdly, there are seductive forces from without. Seductive forces. You're in 2 Timothy. Just go back a few books to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 to the second text that I read this morning. Seductive forces that come at us from without. I have mentioned Ephesians 6 verse 10 through verse 18 several times in the last few weeks on Sundays. These great verses explain to us the battle that we're in. They explain how that every day we do battle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what this tells me, dear friend? Look at me. This tells me we're in a battle. This tells me that the devil wants your family. This tells me that the devil wants your church. This tells me that the devil wants to get his talons around your throat and get your kids. That's what it tells me. The forces of evil have arrayed themselves against God and against His people. I want you to notice that 11th verse. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. Boy, I tell you, the devil is one wily creature. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? What's the word wiles mean? Well, it's not talking about Robin and Sue back here. What a powerful word is the word wiles. We all know what it means, but let me give you something. Just look at me. Do you know the word wow? Wow, W-O-W. To wow somebody is to shock them. It is to impress them. It is to surprise them in a good way. But to wile somebody is to trick them. It is to deceive them. It is to lure them through deception. And that's how the devil is. He is wily. He is wily. Let me show you how slick he is. Let me show you how he's worked. You remember back in 1962, the United States Supreme Court decided and declared that there would be no more Bible reading and prayer in school. I was in the second grade when that happened. Mrs. Cremines was our teacher. And she came in one day and had tears in her eyes, and she took her Bible that sat on her desk all the time, great big old thick black Bible, and she took that Bible and put it in the drawer with tears in her eyes and said, made an announcement to the class and said that we were no longer allowed to read the Bible and pray in school. Now that's not worked out too good, has it? I mean, ever since that happened, the public schools started going down the tubes. You take God out, you take the Bible out, you take prayer out, and you have nothing left. You have anarchy on your hands, and that's what that's where our schools have gotten to today. Test results are down, not a little bit, but substantially from where they were back years ago. And removing God from the schools just hasn't worked. Now, folks, I want you to think about this. As of 1962, we have now removed successfully God from the classroom. We have also, in the subsequent period, discharged God from the military. And that about the only place that a young person can now find God these days is in jail. Isn't that true? In all 50 states, you can still go to the jail and you can still take a Bible and you can still preach the gospel. You can't do it when they're in school, when they need it the most, so that you can give them direction and guidance and the truth, so that the truth can set them free. You can't do it when they're in kindergarten and in the first grade and in the second grade and the third grade, when their minds are being shaped and formed. You can't do it in junior high school when the peer pressure starts to come upon them and their older friends are saying, "Oh, come on, man, everybody's doing it. Hey, look at me." That's a lie. Not everybody's doing it. Can't do it back then. But after the devil comes in and gets his hooks in them, gets them addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol, after the devil comes in and ruins their lives, and they end up over here in the jail, thank God you can still go over there in the jail and give them the gospel. That's why we have our reformers program. That's why we go over to the jails and down to the rescue mission. That's why we do all that. Gospel works on you no matter what kind of sinner you are. Oh, how the devil has deceived our country. And we just sat back and let it happen. I tell you, there should have been such an uprising in 1962. There should have been such a national uprising in 1962. We should have marched right in at that point and said, no, enough is enough. And boy, it's just been one great decision after another. Following that came the abortion ruling. Following that came all this civil rights stuff. After, he said, well, there's a civil rights problem in Carroll County. No, there's not. It's only, you make it a problem. There's no civil rights problem in America. We've got every nationality known to man represented at the church, the open door. We don't fight and fuss and quarrel and gripe and complain about things. You see, the gospel puts everybody on equal ground. What's wrong with our society? I tell you what's wrong with us. We've taken God out of the picture. That's what's wrong with us. Now, how are we going to fight this? Well, how do we fight these forces that come at us from without? How do we fight this devil and all his imps and all his principality? How do we fight? How do we stop that, preacher? Listen, my friend, you're in a spiritual battle, and you cannot fight a spiritual battle without spiritual weapons. How do you fight him? Look at your Bible. Here's what you do. You put on the whole armor of God. What is that armor? We have weapons that we can use against the devil. Truth and righteousness and soul winning and faith. And then the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and prayer. That's how you fight the devil. You fight the devil with spiritual weapons. That's why we need to get busy doing something. Folks, don't sit back on the sidelines and watch everybody else do it. Jump in there and get involved. Jump in there and get involved. Do your part to fight the battle. And because we don't use the weapons any longer, we're seeing the devil ruin too many lives. We're seeing him use his old wily ways to lure our young people into sin. We're seeing our kids captured by his evil before we know what's happening. And folks, I'm begging you this morning, it's time to wake up, Mom and Dad, and realize this battle you're in. I want you to know the devil's after your kids. He's after. I've told you all this, but it needs to be said again. I've told you all this and illustrated this before, but let me illustrate it one more time. You remember, I thought of this yesterday because it happened yesterday. I took Josh and Kathy and Braden and Jenna to dinner last night. And as we were going out, putting the kids in the car seats, and I was carrying Braden. I put Braden in his car seat. And then I went around and opened the door. Josh had put Jenna in her car seat. I walked. She is just a little over a month old, month and a half old. And I opened the door, and when I opened the door, the light was shined through, and she kind of squinted a little bit. And I got over in front of her, about that far away from her, and started talking to her. And I was doing everything I can to get a reaction out of her. And finally, her eyes adjusted, and then all of a sudden, you know, had one going that way and one going that way. But then all of a sudden, boom, they all came together, and she looked right into my eyes. And when she did, I started acting like the biggest goof in Carroll County. I mean, I was trying to get her attention. And sure enough, boy, she made eye contact with me, and the biggest old smile came across her little old face. Oh, my, that's what I was after. I was after the reaction. That's what I wanted, was the reaction, and I got it. And once I got it, I had to get it again. And so I went through the whole process again. And sure enough, boy, both eyes came together and boom, I got the reaction. I thought, man, this is great. I could stay here all night just to get the reaction. Now, all of us went through that with our kids. And those of us that now have grandkids, we're going through that. And it's a wonderful experience. But you have to work to get that reaction. You have to work to get it. But it's worth it when you get it. Now, if something happens, though, we're willing to do the work when they're babies. We're willing to do the work when they're infants. We're striving for that reaction. But then something happens to them. They get about 12. They get about 13. And there's no reaction any longer. When you say something to them, all you get is a grunt. How you doing? What do you want to eat? What are you going to do tonight? It's like dumb sets in. Brain dead. And what happens is we ask a question or we try to get the response and we don't get the response, and so we get angry. We get mad at them because we're looking for the response. We've had that response from the time they were a month old, and we worked at it, and we worked at it, and we worked at it, and all along through the years we've gotten that response, but then all of a sudden now they're 12, 13 years of age, and we think we're going to get it when we ask for it, but it doesn't come, and so we get upset. And dear friend, listen, I'm just here today to challenge you and tell you that you better work as hard to get the reaction when they're 12 and 13 and 14. You better work even twice as hard to get the reaction then that you did when they were a month old, or you are going to lose your kids. The devil's after them. And God put them under your care. And part of your care is their spiritual well-being. Now, don't let the devil have your kids. He's the enemy of the home. And he's after yours. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. I pray your blessings upon what's been said. Lord, give us understanding of thy word. Help us, Lord, to know what is the mind of God in this area. Lord, I pray for our families. I pray for our dads, our moms. Lord, I pray you'll give them discernment, wisdom. Lord, give them a heart for spiritual things. Lord, I pray for the young people here and the children in our church. Lord, just pray that you'll put your hand upon them. And Lord, allow us the opportunity to apply the Word of God that we've heard this morning to our hearts. And Lord, may we not get weary in well-doing. May we just determine that it's worth the fight to keep our children from going to the devil. It's worth the battle. It's worth the effort. It's worth the struggle to keep the devil from ruining our homes. Lord, I pray that you'll just bless what's been said and strengthen us in it. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around, please. I wonder how many folks here today will say, "Preacher, God's dealing with my heart this morning. Something in the message has touched my heart. And I the Lord is dealing with me about a certain thing that was mentioned today. God's dealing with me. And I want you to pray for me, preacher. God's speaking to my heart this morning. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over this building? Just lift your hand and hold it up and let God do something in your life. Amen. Amen. How about upstairs? Preacher, pray for me. God's speaking to my heart today. Pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. All right. All right. Good. God bless you. All right. Now, Father, you know our needs today. Meet those needs of our hearts. Lord, I pray for every person who has raised their hand today. Lord, give us a convicted heart this morning. And Lord, may we purpose that we're not going to let the enemy destroy our home. Lord, I pray for dads. I pray for moms. I pray for the children. Oh, Lord, help us to just be committed to serving Thee. Lord, I don't know. There may be somebody here today that's not sure they're saved. Lord, may they realize their need of the Lord today. And in just a moment when we stand and sing, Lord, I pray that down the aisle they'll come. And let us take a Bible and show them from the Word of God how they could know they're going to heaven. Lord, do your work now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.